Let's stand together briefly if you're able and turn to John chapter 21. John chapter 21. We'll read the first few verses of the chapter and we'll let you be seated. John chapter number 21. Thank you for being with us this morning. Last chapter of the book of John. Look down in verse number 1. It says, after these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And on this wise he showed himself. There were together Simon, Peter, and Thomas, called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. And Simon Peter said unto them, I go a-fishing. They say unto them, we go also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. When the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus said unto them, children, have ye any meat? They answered him, no. And he said unto them, cast a net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it in for the multitude of the fishes. Therefore that disciple, whom Jesus loved, saith unto Peter, it is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his father's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from the land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. As soon then as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid therein, and bread. Jesus said unto them, bring of the fish which ye have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to the land full of great fishes, 153, for they were so many, and yet was not the net broken. Jesus saith unto them, come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, who art thou, knowing that it was the Lord? Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them, and fish likewise. This is the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples. After that, he was risen from the dead. So when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto them, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto them, feed my lambs. He saith to them again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He said unto him, feed my sheep. He said unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he had said the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus said unto him, feed my sheep. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for loving us. We thank you for the brief time we have together. Bless the message. I pray you'd speak to our heart. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I believe personally, and I've mentioned it before, that many Christians today are really, if we were honest about it, they're nothing more than what I like to call a bumper sticker Christian. They have the bumper sticker on their car, or maybe they have the little fish deal that they put on the back of the car and so forth. And I believe that many of us today, if we are not careful, we can get to that point in our life where we become nothing more than a bumper sticker Christian. What do I mean by bumper sticker Christian? I mean we get content with displaying our allegiance to Jesus without ever really having to be dedicated to him. We're more into putting some kind of placard up that says, yeah, I'm a Christian, but yet we're not really dedicated to him when the rubber hits the road when it comes to our life. We're content with an occasional word or reference to Jesus as long as we don't have to give a real, honest-to-goodness commitment to him. We're just okay talking about him every now and then. We're fine with a momentary feeling of bliss for the Lord, but we never want to live a consistent life of faith for him. You know, I just think, and I'm sure you would agree if you think about it, Jesus deserves a little bit more than for us just to be bumper sticker Christians. He deserves for us to be nothing more than someone that posts some type of allegiance to him. But if you look at our lives, there is no allegiance to him. We act one way. We want to look one way and think we're a Christian or that we're living the right way, but we're not. But even if bumper sticker Christian doesn't describe who we really are, all of us in some way in our life have acted like a bumper sticker Christian. Okay? The outward trappings, the outward wording, without the inward actions. In the text that we read this morning, this is after Jesus Christ had already been crucified and risen from the dead. And so during those 40 days from his resurrection until his ascension, he appeared and disappeared many different times to several disciples here and there. So he's not with them every day when we come to this point of the story, as he was with these disciples daily for 3 years. And so they don't have him there to regularly teach them to things. They don't have him there to regularly encourage them if they're struggling. And they don't have him there to occasionally rebuke them when they are wrong, as he did sometimes. It was an important time for the disciples because they're about to take Jesus' place in the world. Jesus is going to be gone, and these are the men that are going to get the church up and running. These are the men that are going to get Christianity out and going, and as Acts says, they will eventually turn the world upside down. But during this time when there's a little bit of confusion, Peter decides that he is going to go fishing. Now, not like we think fishing. Not like, let's take a couple days off, let's head to the river and see if we can catch something, okay? And I felt something on that. That's a good thing to do. He's going back to a life. He's going back to what he did commercially. He is going back to his living. The very thing that Jesus had called him away from in the first place to serve him full time. So it's not just a fishing trip. What really is happening, I believe, is Peter's going back to his old life. He's discouraged. He doesn't know what to do. So he's going to do that one thing that he knows how to do. He's going to go back to his fishing. And not only that, he ends up taking 6 of the disciples with him. Think of it. For him, it might have been a little bit of a comfort. This is what I know. By the way, it's probably a lot calmer out there than it was in some of the stuff they face in the 3 years with Christ. And it definitely was a lot calmer than what they had just faced the last few days with the resurrection of Christ. Peter must have liked that comfort. But let me say this, by the way. Jesus has never called us to comfort. He has called us to commitment. And I think there is a comfort in serving Jesus Christ. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying he's called us to be committed. And so they go fishing, and their efforts are in vain. They go out. By the way, these aren't guys. I like to go fishing. I go at least once a year. I always make sure that I have Brother Ross with me because Brother Ross knows what he's doing, and I barely know what I'm doing, okay? So it's like, Brother Ross, what are we doing here? You know, if I'm sitting there and he catches something I don't, I'm like, did you switch bait? It's like, no, I'm using the same bait as you. I just want to check. By the way, it's horrible. We were at the river a couple years ago, and he's standing there, and I'm standing here. We're both casting, and I'm getting nothing, and he catches a fish. And he catches another one. I'm like, we're switching spots. So he came 5 feet over here. I went 5 feet over here. Guess what I caught? Nothing. Guess what he caught? He caught a fish. I'm like, man, the fish like Brother Ross, okay? He knows exactly where they are. But it wasn't like one of our fishing trips where these guys were they knew what they were doing. They knew exactly what they were doing, and yet they're out all night, and they catch nothing. And so, by the way, if Peter was thinking this in his mind, and I'm not sure if he did, that's how Jesus had called him in the first place. He was out fishing. He didn't catch anything. And Jesus said, you catch anything? Do this. And they caught a bunch of fish. Now it's the exact same thing. And so after that fruitless night, they see someone on the shore. They don't recognize him right off. And he says, hey, you catch anything? And they're like, nope. He goes, throw your net on the right side of the ship. And they throw their net on the right side of the ship. And man, that thing is completely full. And guess what happens? They're like, that must be the Lord. And so they know it's the Lord. And they rush into the shore. They rush into the shore. And Jesus is there. And now they know it's him. And he feeds them. And they eat. Now, Peter, it was really the primary focus of the story here. Peter was not a bumper sticker Christian. But, you know, Peter had his bumper sticker moments. Okay, in John chapter 13, Peter says to this to the Lord, Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake. Peter said, I'm in. I will die for you. Jesus said, wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice. We call that reality check. Jesus said, really? You'll die for me? You're going to run. And you're going to deny that you even know me. He promised he would die. He even compared himself to others. And Matthew with the same thing. Peter said unto him, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. He goes, man, these guys, the rest of the disciples, they'll all be offended. Everybody will be offended. Not me. I'm the man. Guess what? The man ran. Okay? Peter had his moment. Now, I will say this. Peter was not by any stretch of the imagination a bumper sticker. He would end up dying for Christ. History tells us he was not only crucified, he was crucified upside down because he didn't feel worthy to be crucified in the same manner that his Lord was. But I want to look at this question here, a very penetrating question that was asked to Peter three times that really we need to think about ourselves. After it's all said and done, he doesn't call all the disciples that went fishing. He brings Peter over and says, lovest thou me? Really what he's saying is, Peter, do you love me? Think about that question. That's pretty tough. Sometimes we need to think about it. He asked him three times, and I know I've heard messages on this. You know, they used two different words for the word love, and one means like and all that. Listen, in other places in the scripture, the words are used interchangeably. So he's asking him, do you love me? This is bottom line. He's just, do you love me, Peter? Jesus could be asking you and I today, do you love me? You see, many people, well, anybody that says they're a Christian is going to say yes. I don't think that we're trying not to love them. They'll say they're saved. They say they love Jesus. But do we really love Jesus? Now, when we answer that question in our mind, we have no right to answer that question. And hear me out, and we'll give you a few points when we're done. We have no right to answer that question based on our own prerequisites. If we're going to honestly answer that question, if I love Jesus, then we need to answer it by his prerequisites. We need to answer it by, you know, what he says, not what we think. People say all the time, they love this, they love their family, love this and love that. And yet in their actions, they don't really love their family. They don't really love whatever it is they say they love. Do we really love Jesus? If we can't answer the question correctly, then maybe we're bumper sticker Christians. As I was thinking about this and looking at it, I think there's four evidences that we should look at to qualify ourselves to see if we really do love Jesus. I want you to notice first one. If we do love Jesus, we prioritize. Verse 15. Look at verse 15 again. And so when they had dined, Jesus said unto Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me, now the next three words, more than these. What is Jesus saying here? I think what he's saying is, Peter, because Peter was a commercial fisherman. It says Peter's the one that actually brought the fish onto the shore, and they counted them, 153. Now, thank God the game warden wasn't there, okay? They would have gotten in trouble. When we went fishing a couple weeks ago, someone called because we caught a lot of fish, and the game warden actually came to our cabin to check us out, okay? And Yogi was nowhere to be found, all right? He wasn't anywhere near there. But he had 153. The net was so full, they couldn't even pull it into the ship. They had to drag it onto the shore. For a fisherman, that's like, yeah, we had a good day out there today. We made some money. And I think what Jesus is saying is, Peter, do you love me more than these? Some people say, well, he was saying that maybe, do you love me more than the other disciples? But Jesus wouldn't do that because that's comparison. And Peter had already gotten in trouble with Jesus earlier when he said, these guys are all going to forsake you, but I won't forsake you. So that's not what he's asking. He's saying, Peter, do you love me more than these fish? Now, by the way, is there anything wrong with fishing? No. I need to do more of it. I need to get better at it, okay? But there's nothing wrong with that. Is there anything wrong if that's his job? No, that's nothing wrong. But for Peter, who Jesus had called away from that to do something, Jesus is saying, Is that really, do you love me more than this? Because you'd already made a promise to me. You had already forsaken that. You had already said you're going to follow me. Listen, are your priorities right? I think Peter got a little bit out of focus there for a little bit. And by the way, I'm not getting on Peter because I don't know what I'd have done. They faced a lot of things. We like to get here and hammer Peter, but what would you have done? We don't know until we're in that situation. But he's like, Peter, am I the priority in your life? How do we know we love Jesus? Well, let me ask you this. Is he the priority in your life? Is he more important than anybody or anything else in your life? If you cannot say that in the affirmative, if you cannot say, yes, he's more important to me than anything else, then maybe you don't love Jesus as much as you think you love him. I could tell my wife I love her until the cows come home. I don't even know what that means because cows don't come home. You know what I'm saying? I've been at my in-law's farm. The cows don't take off. They're in a pen. They stay there, okay? But whatever. I think you understand what I'm saying. And I think pretty much every night when we go to bed, it's like, I love you. You know, we say that to each other. We don't mean it. We just like to say it. It's just a habit. It's a lot better than some of the things we could say to each other when we go to bed, right? Sometimes it's just better to shut up, you know what I'm saying? But listen, you know, we try. But I can say that until whatever, the aliens come home. I could say it, but she doesn't just want to hear me say it, although she does want to hear me say it. She wants to more than that, see it. If she doesn't see anything in my life, it's like, oh, I love you. You know what that is? That's lip service. If she's not the priority in my life as the number one person in my life, then I really don't love her. She's got to be number one, except for the Lord. And so that's what Jesus is saying. Listen, I don't want you to get up and put a bumper sticker on your car, especially if you drive like I drive. Don't put a bumper sticker on your car, okay? Don't do it. But what he really says is, I don't want a bumper sticker on your car. I want it on your heart. I want to know, if I were to look at your schedule, if I were to look at really what's important to you, how you prioritize your life, I can look at that. Can I look at that and say, this person loves Jesus? If he's your priority, you make time for the things that are important to his life. So what's that mean? That means we spend time with him. By the way, not just at church. We spend time with him in his word. We think about him throughout the day. We talk to him without the day. He is the priority. But let me say this too. He is the priority in church. See, sometimes people are just saying, well, you know, I have this relationship with Jesus, but church isn't important. You can't find that statement or even a principle to prove that anywhere in the scripture. In the scripture, church is important. Do you understand that Paul wrote a majority of the New Testament? Do you know Paul was a church planter? Yeah. Do you know many of the epistles in the Bible, you know who they were written to? They were written to individual churches, not this thing we like to throw out there, the invisible church. Yeah, I know, invisible members, invisible singing, all of it's invisible. Okay? In the church, the Bible is a local assembly of believers that Hebrews tells us not to forsake. It's very important. You start out in Revelation. We all like Revelation. It's going to tell us about the future. It starts off with seven letters to seven churches and the leaders of those churches. The church is important. And I think you need to find your place in the church and with God's people. But so many people say, well, I'm just too busy for church. That's like saying I'm too busy for my Bible. It's like saying I'm too busy for my wife. I'm too busy for my family. Then what I am really saying is, doesn't matter what my lips say, what I'm saying in my action is they're not the priority in my life. And Jesus is saying, Peter, by the way, I think you ought to work and you ought to be good at your work. You ought to do the best you can. I think if you're a Christian, you ought to be the best worker at your work, right? I always thought, man, if they're given a promotion or they're given a raise, why shouldn't I get it? Not being dishonest and lying and all that thing, just working hard and just being right and take the advancement. But I never want to put my career ahead of the Lord. Got to be very careful about that. Work and do all those things. But is he the priority in your life? That's why we do encourage Four to Flourish. Church helps. And I just always think back to myself as a brand new Christian, just trying to understand what it meant to serve the Lord and having the Lord work in my life. The one decision I made that changed all of this when I said, I'm just going to go to all the services. And bang, I started going. I started growing in my faith, and it really started helping me. But is the Lord really a priority in your life? Secondly, if we love Jesus, we will obey him. We will obey. John chapter 14 and verse 15 says this, if ye love me, he says, keep my commandments. You say, well, no, Jesus isn't saying we don't love him if we keep your commandments. He's saying here that you know, if you love me, you ought to try to keep his commandments, okay? Well, that's not what it's saying, but that's fine. But if you look down a few more verses, Jesus answered in verse 23 of John 14, Jesus answered and said to him, if a man love me, now this is stronger, he will keep my commandments. First, he was nice. He goes, listen, if you love me, keep my commandments. And then a few verses later, he goes, let me just tell you the truth. If you love me, you will do it. Oh, will I be perfect? Nope. But you know what? The direction of your life will say, I'm trying to obey the Lord. That's what we want to go to. We want to try. You say, "But you know, I come to this church, and you guys are very practical. I think that's a good thing. Now, it's a good thing and a bad thing. Some people say, hey, that's a good thing. We like the Bible to be practical. On the other side, sometimes people came and say, hey, you're a little bit too practical. You want to hear something fluffy or light? Go somewhere. We don't do that. Okay, Jesus wasn't fluffy to Peter on the shore. He looked at him point blank and said, son. He didn't say son. That's in the, you know. Do you love me? Do you love me more than these? See, Jesus was about helping them. Jesus was about teaching them lessons. Jesus was about getting them ready. And so we need to be very practical. One of the things Jesus says is, do you really love me? Then you will keep my commandment. So that means if we are struggling in that area, then we are struggling in our love for him. You say it is a big deal. In Exodus chapter 20, verse 6, which is part of the Ten Commandments, in one of them he says this, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. You see, God puts the two together. Because when we love, we seek to obey. Because love always changes actions. Right? We have several couples getting married. We have Erica and Brian. I think you're next. You're first up this summer. And then we have TT and Edgel. They're in July. And then we have Joy and Chris. And I think they're in November. And then we have an engaged couple. I don't know if we have a date on them. Camerack and Shelly. Not Shelly. Shanice. Sorry about that, Shelly. You know, your sister didn't know about that. Okay, four of them. Listen, we're in love. Listen, when you get married, your life changes. That's not a negative thing. It's a good thing. Okay, don't get scared. We're for you, okay? It's a good thing. I fell in love. I didn't fall in love, because when you fall, that means to trip, to stumble, to hurt yourself, okay? I chose to love my wife. And when I got married, it changed my life. It changed my actions, and it was for the better. And it ought to be the same with Jesus. It changes because now we love him, and we're trying to do that which he tries to do. Here's the spirit we ought to have. There's a lady in our church. They moved to Indiana many years ago, Kara. And Kara got saved. Came to church. My wife talked to her. She trusted Christ. Just so happens she came during our stewardship. Once a month we talk a little about stewardship. And so I got a voicemail on my phone one day. I pick it up and I missed the call, and there's the voicemail, and she goes, hey, Brother Myers, this is Kara. She goes, listen, I know we've been talking about stewardship and giving, and I saw it. It's in the Bible, and I'm going to do it. So I just got paid. How do I do that? Give me a call back. I called her back. But you know what? I like that spirit. Not just for the giving, okay? Get past the money part. Her spirit was, that's just so happens when she came to church, we taught on that, and she says, I saw it in the Bible. I'm a Christian now. I'm going to do it. By the way, and she did all the other things, and she came in. She's the only one that saved her husband. It took a couple months. Finally, we were able to lead him to the Lord. He got saved. They moved out of town. They're both going to church doing well. I think their daughter is going to be a missionary. Listen, you know why? Because here's someone that got saved and said, you know what? If something's in the Bible, I just think God wants me to do it, and I'm going to do it. I think that's a good spirit for us to have. Next, if we love Jesus, we will follow him. Luke chapter 6, verse 46 says, And why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? By the way, Jesus always had a crowd around him. They're always coming around. And all these people are, Lord, Lord, we love you. And Lord, Lord, we... And he goes, why do you call me Lord? And yet you don't do anything I say. You don't follow me. Jesus seemed confused that people would say that and not actually follow and do the things that he wants him to do. One of the things that irritates me a little, and I won't fight it, it's not a big deal, but you know, the new thing is we're getting away from calling ourselves Christians now, and people like to use the word Christ follower. Now, if you're following Christ, more power to you. But can I just tell you something? The Bible, first of all, calls us Christians. And by the way, most people say Christ follower don't follow Christ. We don't even understand what that means. When Jesus said follow Christ, he gave requirements. He said, listen, if you don't give up everything and follow me, you can't be my disciple. Now, I'm not trying to be negative this morning. I'm saying, let's get to that point. Let's work towards that point. But if we're going to love Jesus, you know what it means? We're going to have to follow him. He's going to have to lead us in our life. We're going to have to do the things he says. And that's more than just, that's more than just the obedience part. It's also like, Lord, what specifically do you have for my life? What direction do you want my life to take? But we're comfortable with calling Jesus Lord, and we don't do anything he ever says. I remember it was a summer saturation. I was over here on the other side of Willow, and I was knocking doors, and it's summer. Everything's open. And so there was a door that was open, and I saw the lady, and she couldn't see me, and I was going to invite her to church. So I'm like, well, I don't want to say, hey, you know, that's rude. So I kind of reached in and just knocked on the door, and it surprised her. It surprised her pretty good. She turned around and cussed me out. I'm like, I am sorry. I wasn't trying to startle you. My name's Steve. I'm from Pacific Baptist Church. We're just there to invite people to church. And boy, she goes, you're a Christian. I'm a Christian too. Like, you know, I didn't get that from the first part of the conversation. You know? No, now look, okay, maybe she cussed because I startled her, so I'll give her that, all right? But other people, man, we snap back and forth. You know what I'm saying? Like, I love Jesus. Hey, get out of my way. Other things. Why don't we follow him? Why don't we say, listen, Lord, you know, I want my life to follow the direction that you would want my life to follow. Mark chapter 8 says, verse 32 says, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. And he says, and whosoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. What am I saying? Why don't we just try to make our life what he wants it to be? And then the last thing is this. If we love Jesus, then we will love. Matthew chapter 26, verse 22. You know the two greatest commands, right? What is the greatest command in all the Bible? Jesus said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, the mind, and the soul. Now he asked for one, right? And he said, but the second's just like it. It's like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two hang all the law and commandments. In other words, loving your neighbor as yourself is so important, and it's so tied into everything in the Bible that Jesus connected it with loving him. The two are inseparable. See, I cannot be a true Christian who truly loves God the correct way if I don't love other people. If I don't love Brother Pichardo. I don't love Brother Pineda and Brother Chim. Now, by the way, here's what that also means. Sometimes we get irritated with each other. Amen? I'm not talking about that. But if we love Jesus, it will not just be seen in how we react towards him. It will be seen in how we react towards others. And I don't think it's just talking about Christians, thy neighbor. In other words, if we in the story of the Good Samaritan, he identifies a neighbor as anybody that needs our help. You see, one of the reasons we have summer saturation is because we're trying to love our neighbors. We're trying to love our community. And how can we love our community if we're Christians and we know the greatest thing in the world for anybody to know, Jesus Christ, and we're not willing to let other people know about that? And you've seen it many times. We've showed several times the video of the atheist and how he said, the atheist said, what was his name? Pin Gillette. He said, not me. He said, how much do you have to hate somebody if you believe that Jesus is the way to heaven and you don't tell them, how much do you have to hate them? That's what he said. He's an atheist. Okay, I'm just saying, we ought to love other people. You see, the thing about loving Jesus, it doesn't just affect us, it affects others. Now, let me just ask you this today. Do we really, really love Jesus? Now, I'll be honest, I'm sure all of us don't love him enough, right? But are we trying to love him? You see, if we're trying to love him, we'll love others. If we're trying to love him to the best of our ability, we will follow him. And if we're trying to love him to the best of our ability, we will obey him, and he will be the priority in our life. Let's just not love in our lips. Let's tell the Lord we love him. When we sing out of this hymn book for a reason. Those songs have some meaning, and I want the Lord to know that we really love him, and we're supposed to sing, and we're supposed to say it, but more than that, let's say it in our actions. Let's not just put the bumper sticker on our life. Let's put it on our heart. Let's all stand together this morning.